What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rovardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And the New York Giants could be making some big changes on offense this upcoming season. Brian Daboll not only changing his demeanor, scaling it back, not screaming at his coaches and his players as often, but maybe taking on more responsibility as the head coach and calling plays for the offense this upcoming season. Brian Daboll said that it's something he hasn't decided on just yet, but is definitely considering taking over the play calling duties from Mike Kafka. So we want to discuss in this episode how that would change things for the New York Giants, what it would mean for Mike Kafka, for Brian Daboll, and what this team could look like if Brian Daboll were to start calling plays, and also talk about some of the quotes that he had about his own demeanor, mentioned that he does think he needs to tone it down. John Mara also said that he needs to tone it down. Brian Daboll needs to be a little bit more level-headed. So we want to talk about pretty much just Brian Daboll in this episode and what this upcoming 2024 season is going to look like for him, because it's a crucial one. I don't think he's on the hot seat right now, but he definitely could be if this season doesn't go as planned. So these changes that he's going to be making to his demeanor, to his potential play calling duties, they're crucial changes. They are crucial decisions that he's making right now. So we want to discuss how they might affect things for the Giants in 2024. But before we dive into all that, make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening at Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. But before I hand it off to you, Alex, I do just have to say thank you to everybody for subscribing to this channel, because we just reached a massive milestone, 20,000 subscribers. I can't thank you guys enough. I love this community. I appreciate every single one of you. We're really happy about this, and we do just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We've got great stuff planned on this channel going forward. We've got some great stuff planned to celebrate the 20,000 subscriber milestone, so stay tuned to all that. But again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Love this Fireside Giants community. Really appreciate you guys. Let's go Big Blue. But Alex, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic, and guys, thank you so much for 20,000 subscribers. It's been a long journey getting here, lots of ups and downs, mostly conversational things on a daily basis, and you guys know us, we're here every single day to get you guys your Giants news, a little bit of a fix, and hopefully things are going to be a lot better for us in the future as we enjoy what hopes to be a new era of Giants football that isn't absolute dog water. I'm excited, Anthony's excited, you guys are excited. Let's see if we get a quarterback. If not, we end up with a blue chip wide receiver prospect. Nice consolation prize. Can't wait for the draft, man. Honestly, if we could fast forward through this next month, that would be ideal, because I can't stand the constant back and forth on where the quarterback's going, what the Giants are going to do, what other teams are going to do. At the very least, we know that the Dallas Cowboys have a lot of big contracts coming up, and they will probably be in cap hell for the next 10 years. So we have a little bit of solace from that. But I'll tell you what. The Giants have to make decisions themselves, and on offense, last year Mike Kafka was the primary play caller. We hear the reports that came out about Brian Daboll yelling at people, taking the play calling duties away, giving it to Shea Tierney, taking them for himself, giving them back to Mike Kafka, and then Mike Kafka goes to Seattle and says, well, you know, I'm interviewing for a head coaching job, goes to somebody else, and they're like, well, we want you to make a lateral move, how about you come over here and be our OC? And the Giants say, no, 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 we don't want to do that, you can't go over there, we're blocking it. And the Giants kind of are sitting here like, well, we just kind of like took all of Mike Kafka's duties away. Brian Daboll was thrown under the bus a little bit, and he made himself a little bit of an enemy of the state for a minute there. Everyone kind of turned their attention to Wink Martindale, who went crazy on his way out and threw a big fit. So, you know, he took the brunt of it. But I think it's important to note that Daboll did have a couple of things that went wrong last year, and a couple of things that I think he even acknowledged today at the during some press conferences, that he said, I have to do some stuff better. Like, that was an acknowledgement that he messed up a couple times last year, that there were occasions last season that maybe he yelled at somebody, maybe he addressed somebody in the wrong way, maybe he didn't operate to the best of his abilities and didn't communicate as he should as a head coach. He acknowledged it. Like, it's there. He said, I did some stuff wrong. I have to learn from it and get better. So clearly, there was something that he did wrong that he needed to address. And I think that the way I perceive it now, looking back, the Giants were bad, right? Like, they had a bad offense. And I think that he was frustrated, right? Because the Giants hired Brian Daboll to be an offensive guru, to help produce points, you know, get them to the playoffs and you know, test opposing defenses. And the Giants just simply did not do that. They had a glimpse of it 2 years ago, but it wasn't enough. You know, we did it against some bad defenses. Got to step up and win against good teams, and the Giants simply couldn't do it. We beat the Green Bay Packers, but it seemed more of like an off day for them than it was, you know, an even match. So you know, feeling as though right now the Giants are in better hands, because I do feel we're going to add a lot of offensive weaponry in the draft. We already reinforced the offensive line. And if you heard John Mara say, it is ridiculous, verbatim, it is ridiculous. It's taken a decade to figure out this offensive line. Joe Shane knows, Brian Daboll knows, they cannot run back what happened last season. It is imperative. It is a priority. If what happens again last season, if what happens last season happens again, we are in deep doo-doo. They're probably getting fired, like straight up. Like that's, if what happens last year replicates itself, they're probably out of a job. So I'm willing to bet that it's going to be a little bit better. They invested in John Runyon. They invested in Jermaine Illuminor, two guys we like a lot. Left guard, you know, I know they're not saying that Jermaine Illuminor is going to be the starting right tackle immediately, but if I had to put my money on it right now, I would think he's going to start a right tackle, and Evan Neal probably switches into guard, if not loses the job outright. Jermaine Illuminor is a better player at this point in time, in my opinion, and he is healthier, and Evan Neal has been injury prone. So there are concerns there. We want Evan Neal to win this job. Illuminor at right guard would not be a bad consolation prize. But I do like the idea of Daboll taking over play calling. He said today that 20 head coaches in the NFL call plays on either defense or offense, and he wants to be another one of those guys potentially. I think he will take play calling, especially, and Anthony, I'm going to throw this in there. I think that the Giants will give him, or not the Giants, but he will take over play calling if they draft a quarterback. Why? Because I think that this is probably Mike Kafka's last year with the Giants anyway, and I think that they probably want Brian Daboll to be synchronized with that quarterback, calling plays in his helmet, in his ear, talking to him, building that relationship. I think if they draft another quarterback, he probably will end up calling plays. It's possible he does it anyway, but I think even more so probable if they do draft the quarterback, because I think they want him, Brian Daboll, in lockstep with that young player, mainly because we hired him to develop a quarterback. We hired him to make sure that we had that position figured out long term. And I think it's time to give him the keys. It's time to say, let's go get your guy and give you the freaking keys and let you drive the car. Let you call the plays. Let you take over the development of this young player. Daniel Jones came with a lot of baggage. It wasn't his. Joe Judge and Pat Shurmur, Ben, you know, there's so many coaches that had an influence on Daniel Jones. It's time you give Brian Daboll his guy to mold and become the player that we need to lead this franchise into the future. And I think calling plays is exactly where that needs to go if the Giants do go down that route. What are your thoughts about that? I imagine you're probably in a similar boat thinking that Brian Daboll, it's time to hand him the keys in that regard.
Yeah, whether it has to do with a rookie quarterback or not, I just think that Brian Daboll should be calling plays. I think that there's a lot of responsibility that falls on the shoulders of a head coach. And yes, you might argue that Brian Daboll's clock management, situational awareness wasn't always the best last season. And you might say, okay, why would you want to give him more responsibility and more duties to handle on the sideline every Sunday? And I would just say that the offense just didn't feel like it had an identity last year. And it felt like maybe there were dueling minds there in the offensive rooms, where maybe Mike Kafka wanted to do one thing, Brian Daboll wanted to do another. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but if you read a lot of the reports and if you buy into some of the rumors and the speculation, it does sound like there was a dueling identity in that offense, because the Giants had never found one last year. Did they want to be a run-first offense that just hands the ball off to Saquon Barkley and lets him be their bell cow? Did they want to throw the ball? I mean, I'll think about the week one game versus the Dallas Cowboys. That first drive, they run all the way down the field, get into field goal range, of course, blocked field goal. But then after that, they stopped running the football and the game got out of hand because their passing attack was not prepared to go up against that Dallas defense. That's one example. You can think of week two before the comeback. In the second half, they abandoned the running game. There just wasn't that consistent identity in that offense. And I know I only brought up first 2 weeks examples. There were definitely other examples down the road and down the season. So it was just very interesting watching this offense struggle to figure out what it wanted to be all season long. But when you're the head coach and you're taking control of your own offense, that's when I think Brian Daboll can really shine his skills and his talents and say, hey, this is what I'm good at. This is what I'm best at. This is what I'm going to focus on. And I'm going to fix this thing, right the ship myself, and give the Giants offense a lot more stability. And then there are other duties that Mike Kafka can take over now that he is assistant head coach. That was the big promotion title. So if you are worried about too many responsibilities on Brian Daboll's shoulder, if you add the play calling duties, maybe he gives up some of those other duties. Maybe Mike Kafka, part of his new responsibilities as assistant head coach, he's the guy who reminds Brian Daboll, like, hey, use that challenge flag, or hey, call that timeout. That's totally possible as well. They can restructure this whole thing and just make it Brian Daboll's offense once again, because has it been Brian Daboll's offense since he's been here? I'm not entirely sure. Like, we always refer to this thing as this is Daboll's offense. Imagine getting a young quarterback in Daboll's offense. These are things that we say, but have we seen Daboll's offense just yet? Because in my opinion, this offense has looked a lot different from the one that we saw during his time with the Buffalo Bills. There's a lot less deep shots, a lot less explosive plays being generated, and it's a lot more conservative. Now, of course, that has a lot to do with personnel and different players on the football field, on both sides of the ball even, but for the Giants, the identity has just always been lacking with this offense for me over the last 2 years, even in 2022 when Daniel Jones had his career year and Saquon Barkley was playing at a really high level. Even then, I felt like there was a lacking identity there and that the Giants didn't know how to utilize certain players, Kenny Galladay being an example. I know he kind of stunk, but still, he wasn't utilized ever, and I just have always felt like there should be more attention to detail here in this offense, and I think that's what Brian Daboll can do, and that's what he can fix for the Giants offense if he does take over the play calling duties. And then to your point about developing a quarterback, the more involvement that Daboll has with the offense means the more involvement that he has in the development of a rookie quarterback. So if the Giants do go that direction in the draft, and who knows what they will do, a lot of rumors swirling all over the place about the top of this draft, quarterbacks, receivers. We don't really know what's going on in the draft, and we won't until the night of the draft, but we do know that the Giants are at least considering drafting a quarterback. John Mara even said so himself. So if the Giants do wind up with a rookie quarterback, I want Brian Daboll, because of how involved he was in the development of Josh Allen, I want to see him have that level of involvement with a rookie quarterback with the New York Giants. Now, he obviously can't go to the same extent because he's got other responsibilities as the head coach, but whatever the Giants can do to get enough one-on-one time between Daboll and that rookie quarterback, that's what I want to see. And so I think that play calling duties would allow him to be more involved with the offense and be more involved with the development of a young quarterback. But one thing that I will say, Alex, and I want to bring this up just because it's on topic, but a little bit off topic, not necessarily talking about the offense, so to speak, but you did mention something there about Brian Daboll and, you know, jobs being on the line here going into the season and Brian Daboll needing to develop a rookie quarterback potentially. John Mara did clarify while speaking to reporters that drafting a rookie quarterback does not extend the leash of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. And I thought that was interesting for two reasons. One, because it kind of revealed that they are on the hot seat in a way. He's at least having some sort of thoughts about, you know, maybe if this thing goes south, I will clean house once again. I thought that was like kind of an interesting tell from John Mara. And then the second part of it is we talk a lot about how we think the leash could be extended if they draft a rookie quarterback. John Mara just doesn't feel that way. And I think that's just interesting in general. So what is your take on that, Alex? I don't know if you have one. I will clarify as well that John Mara did say he has all the confidence in the world in Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. However, I just thought that it was interesting he did clarify that drafting a rookie quarterback doesn't necessarily give them a longer leash.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Giants have to win football games, whether it means having the right quarterback or not. We've seen many teams go in different directions because they, even if they have the quarterback, they can't win. You know, it's crazy to say, but like we've seen it happen all across the league. You know, who knows what happens to Nick Sirianni if the Eagles have another bad season, despite the fact they have Jalen Hurts. You know, it's really, it's a results-driven league, and you know, just because you have a great quarterback does not mean you're safe, because maybe another coach will operate better with a great talent at the position. So I think right now it does give them a little bit more leeway, give them a little bit more slack to say, all right, even if we have an average year, but we have a rookie quarterback, that second season we can compound into another thing. So yes, like while it may not give them an extended leash, I think that, you know, as long as we're seeing progress, John Mara will be a little bit more committed to keeping them around. It's really about the downward trend. You know, when we saw Shurmur, the downward trend, McAdoo, the downward trend, Joe Judge, you know, it's just three straight downward trends. This past season was a downward trend, but I would argue there was a lot of injuries, and I know that, you know, Mara will bring that up as the first thing, and so will Shane, and so will Daboll, as well as, you know, taking on the brunt of the hit for it. But they also were still dealing with the cap implications that Dave Gettleman left behind. You know, we're talking about awful, like some of the worst decisions that you could make as a general manager, Dave Gettleman made, and then just dipped, peaced out, retired, and had a, and got and wanted like a standing ovation at his last game at MetLife as the Giants were playing for nothing. They were playing just to go to just to go sit on their couch and watch the playoffs. And he went there, and they actually like, oh, Dave Gettleman's retiring after putting us through years of pain. And we're talking, he left massive contracts. Look at Leonard Williams' contract. We're talking about Dory Jackson's contract. We're talking about Golden Tate still paying him last year. You know, we're talking about guys who were not only even on this freaking team anymore that we had. He had pushed dead money years down the line. We were paying Kyle Rudolph 2 years. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous to even talk about. Not to mention, look, I love Saquon Barkley. Obviously, he's gone now, but he wouldn't even pick up the phone to talk about a trade back for a running back. You know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't even pick up the phone. What's done is done. But he did things that no other general manager would even comprehend, would even, like, legitimize. And Joe Shane said it best yesterday, Anthony. The best thing that you can do as a GM is opening your lines of communication with the other GMs, having a good chemistry with them, having good relationships with them, because that makes it more likely that you can strike a deal. That makes it more likely that you can make something happen. Dave Gettleman shut the freaking phone. He closed his old freaking 50-year-old phone book, put the phone down, and then cut the wire, you know, because he still had one of those freaking house phones with a wire on it. You know, this is where we were. That's where we were. Now we're in the new age, and I think that Joe Shane, the cap health, by the way, aside from Daniel Jones's contract, our cap health is phenomenal. They've built in tremendous deals into this. They knew exactly how much money we were going to be increasing year over year. These contracts are healthy. We can open up money by extending them. Getting the quarterback would even reset that even further, and we can invest elsewhere. The cap health has never been better. This is the first offseason we've had where the cap health has not been impacted by Dave Gettleman. And by the way, we're still paying Leonard Williams on a void year next season. So, and I think we were even paying Sterling Shepard a little bit of money too. We still have contracts that are being affected by us by Dave Gettleman. It's been three freaking years. Oh, it's been two full seasons, and we're still dealing with void years created by Dave Gettleman. I mean, the guy was out of his mind. And I think that's where John Mara thinks to himself. I don't think in terms of the leash, I think the leash actually starts now for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, because they had to wait to clear the salary cap health. And now they finally have that financial freedom. I think they have a good 2 years, this year and next year, to figure out if this is going to get to where they need it to be. They were trying to build, they were trying to win while we were kind of going through this phase of figuring out the financial situation, drafting well, building up the foundation of this roster. You know, we didn't have a key pass rusher. Now we have two. We didn't have a star cornerback. Now we have one that we really love in Deontay Banks. You know, we love Wandale. We think he could be great. We're finally trying to build this offensive lineup. We couldn't spend any money last year or the year before that. By the way, didn't even mention the Kenny Golladay contract. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't know this at the time, but they knew his injury to his hip was worse than it was. And, of course, it ended up being that he lost, like, five steps on his freaking pace. But, you know, now we sit here and we look at the situation the Giants have. We have a couple linchpin pieces, my friend. You know, Andrew Thomas is linchpin piece. Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Deontay Banks. I feel like we have some really good talent. Bobby Okereke, I throw into the mix, too. We have some really solid players that I think can be foundational core pieces on rookie contracts, some of them, for the next couple of seasons. And that's where you want to be. Now is the time to make the big swing. If you want to be aggressive, you want to get the quarterback, you want to hit a home run right now while you have a couple of really great players at positions that have substantial positional value, this is when you make the aggressive move. That's my personal opinion. I think if the opportunity arises for the right player that they like, I'm not, and I know the comments are going to be like, we're not taking JJ McCarthy. We hate JJ McCarthy. I'm not talking about JJ McCarthy. I'm talking about if the player they love is there, they should be aggressive to get him, because we have the key pieces in place. The star defensive lineman, the star edge rusher. We have a guy in Kayvon Thibodeau who could be that good. The star linebacker, the hopefully star cornerback, the star left tackle. We have a second-year center that I really like in John Michael Schmitz. We have some good pieces here. Now's the time you take the swing, in my opinion. You take that aggressive strategy and you apply it, and then you open up substantial financial freedom next year. We can have as much as $60-plus million next offseason with a quarterback on a rookie deal. One of those receivers is going to hit the market, guys, and if not, you trade a second-round pick for Brandon Ayuk. You know, you do these things. This is how you get better. The Giants know. They've been really creative with their trades over the last couple years, whether it be a guy like Darren Waller that didn't necessarily pan out, or it be like a guy like Brian Burns. The Giants have been really active finding trade partners with players for players that are quality on paper. So I think that I wouldn't be surprised if we got the quarterback and then tried to trade for a receiver next offseason. I know it may not be everyone's preference, but don't rule it out as a possibility, because if you have a young rookie quarterback and you manage to get Brandon Ayuk or whoever it might be, that's a WR1 bona fide proven in the NFL, I don't think we're going to be very upset about it personally.
I won't be upset about it. I would love to see the Giants take a swing at the quarterback position, but we'll just have to see what happens on draft night and how the board falls. And I made this argument, I think, about a month ago, where maybe I would trade up for certain guys, maybe I wouldn't. It really depends on draft night, what the asking price is, what the value, and who's available. That's just what we're going to have to wait and see. And that's what I think we won't know until the night of the draft, because we're hearing this player is going at 1, this guy might go at 2, no wait, this guy's going at 2, oh, this guy's going at 3, oh no, never mind, this guy's going at 3. We don't know, but we're still a month away, and once we get to that point and it is draft night, then we will start to see that board take shape, and the New York Giants will decide whether or not they want to trade up, whether they want to stick and pick. And I keep saying this on this channel, and I'm going to keep saying it, I still believe there is a chance that one of the top 4 quarterbacks falls to the number 6 overall pick. All this talk about guys trading up or different teams trading up and all 4 quarterbacks being off the board with the first 4 selections, I feel like we hear stuff like that every single year. Never comes true. Someone always falls at least a little bit. I do think there's a real possibility that a quarterback could be on the board for the Giants with the number 6 overall pick. Or maybe they do trade up. Who knows? That's kind of my point here. We don't know what's going to happen in the draft just yet. Giants still going through their process, but we know that everything is on the table. Maybe it would be exciting to see them take that swing at a rookie quarterback. Maybe you really want them to take a blue chip wide receiver. One of those two things, very likely to happen. So there's definitely reason to be excited. But before we wrap this, Alex, one last thing that I want to talk about. Back to the Brian Daboll conversation. Now I want to talk about his demeanor on the sidelines, his behaviors, his antics, so to speak. The way that he conducted himself at times was, in the eyes of many, unacceptable. There were tantrums that he was throwing. He was throwing tablets down near players' feet. He was screaming at coaches. The reports were saying that he was meddling in meetings and chewing guys out and taking personal shots and attacks at certain coaches during meetings and even on the sideline. Joe Shane had to listen in. We've heard a lot of bad things about what Brian Daboll was doing as a head coach last season. We didn't hear that the season prior, but we've also, of course, sang his praises. There's plenty of great things that Brian Daboll does, but he was asked about it this week. It was his first time being asked about, and he said, I do need to tone it down. There are things that I wish I did differently, and I'm going to work on it. And I think that's important that he, A, recognize that, B, is trying to change, but the C here is, does he execute that properly? We got to see it going through the 2024 season. Does he actually make change? It's one thing to say you want to make change. You got to actually put the actions in place and make the change. But John Mara also said he wants to see him tone it back. He wants to see him dial it back, tone it down, but still has the confidence and the support in Brian Daboll. But Alex, how do you feel about it? You know, when you're looking at Daboll and kind of his behavior last season, it was a little bit erratic. There was definitely room for criticism, also room for praise. But just how do you feel about him kind of acknowledging this and saying that he plans to fix it going forward?
Yeah, I mean, look, right now, Brian Daboll, I think, had, a lot of people had responsibilities last year. And I think Brian Daboll probably got way too frustrated at how the team was producing and blamed a lot of it on the coaching and blamed it all on the play calling. And I think that if he takes over the play calling, he's the only one to blame. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what he needs. I don't think I think that him having the responsibility and the pressure, it'll take a lot of the pressure off of other people, because like, it'll be on Dable's shoulders. You know, if he's failing to do it, it's on him. If Mike Kafka's calling the plays and he's failing to do it, he's going to get blamed for it, and Daboll may freak out on him. Clearly it seems like something happened. A couple reports came out and said that they had a couple of situations that were not so friendly in terms of they took play calling away, gave it back, whatever it might be. So, you know, the antics on the sidelines, and Dable's a hothead. I mean, we've seen him. When he gets mad, he gets freaking mad. I mean, the guy looks like a cherry. So, like, I kind of feel like taking that pressure and putting it on him, he can only get angry at himself. You know, he's got to be better in terms of controlling that anger, because it's going to rub coaches the wrong way, and players are going to see it, and players are going to get frustrated and annoyed that their coach is yelling at them and cursing them out and you know, yelling at the other coaches. And, like, that's not how you build a winning team. And I know a lot of people are like, well, Tom Coughlin did that. Well, yeah, Tom Coughlin did that. He reined it in, and they won a Super Bowl the next season. So, like, that's kind of where I would point to and say, like, look, I get tough love and I can support tough love, but there's a difference between being a dick and being tough. You know what I mean? And Dable kind of walked that line last year and people didn't really like it. So I think that he has to reel it in a bit. You can be tough. You can have the difficult conversations, but you don't have to curse people out. You don't have to freak out on people because that just creates a bad environment. It creates a bad learning environment. It destroys communication on the field and off the field, and it creates bad blood. And suddenly you have a lot of coaches like this offseason, we had tons of coaches leaving because there was a lot of internal tension. Like the Wilkins brothers, that whole situation, there was a lot more to behind the scenes that we even know, because those guys got fired and Wink Martindale bugged out, freaked out, and clearly the Wilkins brothers did not have a good relationship with Brian Dable. They need to have a better communication, better internal structure, where there's a lot better collaboration. That's the word that Dable used. We have to have better collaboration, and Joe Shane kind of mirrored the same thing. They need to have – it just needs to be better. It has to be. They need to have more personalities in here that are more collaborative, and I like Carmen Basilio. I think that there was a report that came out that was like some of the players were rubbed a little bit the wrong way by him. But hey, man, that unit played really well in Las Vegas, and I don't think he's an asshole. I think he's I think someone actually reached out to me and said that he vacationed with him down in Jersey or something like that a couple times. He's a really good guy, and he knows his stuff, and he's a passionate about what he does, and we love passionate people here. But I think there is something that goes into being just a little bit of a rage, like a hothead. And people get rubbed the wrong way by that. You know, not everyone takes well to those types of responses. So if I'm Brian Dable, and I think he kind of said it this morning, he's trying to get a hold of his reaction to things. He's trying to get better in a lot of areas. And I think that's a great step forward for him personally. I think it was the natural progression. And I think he learned something valuable from last season. When you're losing games and you're not playing well and the offense is not going well and you're blaming other people, it only ends up coming and smacking you back in the face. So I think he learned a couple valuable lessons as a head coach. And I think John Mara, he said, I'm committed to those two guys because I think he learned his lesson and I think he's going to be better this upcoming year. So that's kind of my take on it right now. I'm more than happy to give Dable another opportunity to show that he can turn things around, because he was head coach of the year 2 years ago. Like, can't forget about that. This third season will probably define his future with the Giants, but I do think giving him back play calling is essential. And I think getting him as quarterback is also just as important.
Yep, I completely agree with you. I think that this is a crucial year for both Brian Dable and Joe Shane. I think that there is a world where Joe Shane outlasts Brian Dable. This is kind of a little bit off topic once again, just because we've had this conversation in the past where we think that those guys are kind of married to each other, and if one goes, the other goes. I'm not entirely sure about that, and you know, as we kind of get into the thick of things now with Brian Dable and Joe Shane in this prove-it year, they got to have these results. Like, as you said, this is a win-losses league. Like, that's really the currency of the NFL. How many wins do you add, how many losses do you add, and how many do you have in total so far? Brian Dable, very successful first season, a lot of rocky roads in 2023. How does he respond in 2024? That will ultimately determine how we remember him and how long he really lasts here with the New York Giants. So it's going to be interesting. Again, we got another month until the NFL draft. We're, of course, going to continue to update you on everything regarding the NFL draft and everything else regarding the New York Giants right here on Fireside Giants. So want to say one more time, once again, thank you so much for the 20,000 subs milestone. Hope you guys stick around for 30,000 subs and so on and so forth, because this thing is never ending, never stopping. We are determined to continue to provide you guys with the best New York Giants content on the internet. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. Ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. Comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. And go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you all in the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.